Good morning, everyone. Thank you for bearing with us in our tech issues, but the show must go on, and so we're grateful that you're all here. Again, this is still new technology, and we're continuing to adapt and figure out the best way to serve as many people as we can. I want to thank you, Perry and Jack, both for being willing to go to the sanctuary. Yes, they're there. Everybody else should be at home. We're still social distancing and keeping our 6 feet apart, and there's only the two of them, so we're continuing to be safe. Perry is playing the organ, and we're grateful for that. Unfortunately, Zoom doesn't have the best music quality, but there's something about knowing that Perry is there and playing the organ that is comforting. So enjoy the music as best we can. Everybody is going to be muted for the video. However, I might go to the gallery view of everybody once in a while. So you could still, your picture might pop up on the Facebook or on our video when we finish it. But I hope that you're willing to do that, and I want to encourage you to put on the video so we can see one another. And also, because you're muted, if you have the bulletin, if you've downloaded it from the website, you can talk and respond and sync home, and you don't have to worry. That won't be online, but still please participate because it connects us. One other little piece of how this all works, we are going to do communion. I encourage you to, if you have a food item or just any drink, have those in front of you at the time of communion. If you don't have them right now, stay where you are. We'll have a couple minutes for you to also get them and be prepared and go for it. So with that being said, I invite you to take a deep breath. If you have a candle with you at home, go ahead and light it. To help center yourself in worship. And now I invite you to join us in the call to worship.
Early on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb.
They went to perform a service out of love for one they had lost.
They went to fulfill their obligations, the expectations of their faith.
They never expected what they would find, an empty tomb.
They never expected an earthquake, or angels, or Christ himself.
me 1 second. We come with our expectations, our emptiness, and our hopes.
We come with the crosses we have carried, the stories that block our way, the stones that block our way.
We come to meet the Christ and to hear his greeting.
We come to remind each other that nothing,
absolutely nothing,
nothing can separate us from the love of God. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Our prayer of invocation. Good news, God. In the midst of deep sorrow and grief, your angels appeared to the faithful women of Jesus, bringing them news more awe-inspiring than they could imagine. Christ is risen. Surely your angels can interrupt our lives too, breaking into our losses and sorrows, and offering a message of tremendous joy to change our lives. Come this Easter morning, we pray, and fill us with the joy of the women disciples, the first witnesses to your resurrection, that our lives may also be renewed in hope and glory. Let us roll back the stone of the grave and sing Alleluia once again. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Our second scripture comes from John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God, the Spirit of God. Thanks be to God. So I want to first acknowledge the fact that this is an Easter Sunday unlike anything any of us have experienced. With that, there may be some grief, some sadness that we are not able to gather together, that there is no morning breakfast, that we can't all be there singing joyfully. Acknowledge that in the back of our minds, as we sit and talk about Easter and resurrection, that there is also fear and pain and questions about what our world is going to be like and the way our world is now. Acknowledge that though we celebrate resurrection and Easter today, in our lives, it feels more like Good Friday still, especially as we continue to see the counts across our nation rise. Of course, the thing about all of this is that in reality, this Easter that we are all experiencing for the first time is probably the most authentic to what really happened. Though there are differences in these two gospel versions of Easter, and also with Mark and Luke as well, one thing they all have in common is what the Easter was first like, in that there was fear, grief, and sadness, and even loneliness. The disciples were in locked rooms hiding because they were scared to be associated with Jesus. They were scared to be associated as speaking out against the Roman Empire. There is something about this Easter that gives us the chance to experience Easter unlike any other. And at first, though it seems scary and sad, it is also a time to identify with the disciples in a way unlike any other. Barbara Brown Taylor, a theologian and author, says that Christianity is the only world religion that confesses a God who suffers. It's not all that popular an idea even among Christians. We prefer a God who prevents suffering, only that is not the God we have got. What the cross teaches us is that God's power is not the power to force human choices and end human pain. It is instead the power to pick up the shattered pieces and make something holy out of them. Not from a distance, but right close up. That is the power of a suffering God, not to prevent pain, but to redeem it by going through it with us. There is power in the pain. There is hope in the pain too, because God is still with us. And on this Easter morning, much like the very first Easter. Easter comes anyways. Resurrection comes anyways. God is with us anyways. God is with us in the pain. God is with us in the joy. God is with us in the hope for the future. In the midst of fear, we have hope. One of my favorite songs from Easter is the song that goes, like some of you may know it best, is Easter People, with the lyrics that say, every day is resurrection day. Sorry, every morning is Easter morning from now on. Every day is resurrection day. The past is over and gone. Now, unfortunately, the past isn't over and gone. The past is coming back to haunt us a little bit. But every day is resurrection day because we are Easter people. We are people that in the midst of pain find hope and find new ways to be in relationship with God. Every day is resurrection day. Every day we are called to live into our Christian beliefs. We're Christian, we believe in Christ because Easter happened. Easter continues to happen. Though this time right now feels like Good Friday, because we know that the disciples found joy. Mary found joy just in that moment when she said, Rabboni. The story doesn't end here. And John also reminds us that when we're Easter people, with the resurrection, we can stop weeping. We can move forward. We can find joy in the midst of sadness. I don't know about you, but the stories that I've been gravitating towards during this whole epidemic are the stories of hope, the stories of care, the stories of our earth continuing to flourish in the midst. People in India being able to see the Himalayas. Sea turtles coming back to beaches and being able to lay their eggs. People donating masks, sewing masks, and sharing them with others. People staying home and social distancing so that our caregivers, our first responders, can feel more safe. Here in Ohio, we have been watching the curve flatten because social distancing is working. There is hope. There is resurrection. God is with us. The disciples were alone in their home. They were scared, and yet God's love was with them. God's love was powerful enough that Mary dried her tears and went on to share the message of Christianity, of Jesus' resurrection, of good news that God brings life even out of death, and that love always has the last word. And so when some people are saying, we don't want to celebrate Easter yet, it doesn't feel like Easter, I remind you again, we are an Easter people. We acknowledge fear and danger, but we also realize that God is always with us, and that in that there is hope. There is transformation. And so I say to you, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Now I have offering up next, and while we don't have our specific offering available, I want to remind people that A, we are still receiving mail. The germs can't spread on the mail. And I also want to remind you that we also have online giving available. In this time when we are all struggling, we understand and we want you to take care of yourselves first. But if you have anything available to continue to help the church continue, to help the mission of the church continue. And thank you, Jim, put the link in your chat button. You can use that for online giving. It is still important that we continue to be church, and we give thanks for those who have continued to give. And now, when circumstances and concern for the common good keep us from gathering to share the Eucharistic feast in person, we gather to pray, separated in body, yet one in the Spirit and one in Jesus Christ. And so I invite you at this time, if you do not have food available, if we're going to have music played from the organ, I invite you to take a second, grab your food, grab your drink, so that you can share in communion with us. This time, Perry is invited to play Morning Has Broken. Thank you. Now I invite you to join in prayer with me. Resurrecting God, we give you thanks for the joy and the hope that you bring us in the midst of our fear and our sadness. We give you thanks for your transforming, unconditional love. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, you speak to us words of life. Call forth in us rivers of living water and feed our deepest hunger. In trying times, in times of loneliness or confusion, in times when we feel most alone, remind us that we are never alone, for you are with us always, O God. Hear us now and pray for us in our weakness with sighs too deep for words. As we lift up those whom we love, those present with us and those from whom we are separated, those held captive physically, mentally, or spiritually, the sick and the suffering, those who care for the sick, both medical caregivers and families who wait and watch with them, those who care for us in stores and restaurants and allow us to continue to get provisions, those who mourn the loss of loved ones, the loss of freedom, the loss of security, the loss of a livelihood, or the loss of a sense of order and control. We lift up those with more questions than answers and all who long for your guiding light for their path. The lonely, the isolated, those who long for a loving touch. Those whose remaining days on this earth are few and for those walking in the valley of the shadow of death. And those whom we too easily forget, and those whose needs are known only to you. God of compassion, hear our prayers. Fill us with your grace and inspire us to be instruments of mercy and hope as we pray the prayer Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite you, if you have your elements with you, to join in the blessing of the elements, whatever they are. Water, wine, grape juice, bread, cereal. They are all holy. Jack will be reading the all, and again, I invite you to read back with us. God is with us.
We are not alone.
Christ is with us.
The risen one has met us, blessed and fed us on the road that leads us home.
The community of the Holy Spirit is with us.
We gather with the communion of the saints in light throughout history and with God's people around the world.
With brothers and sisters, absent in body but united in spirit, we pray. Holy One, Trinity of grace and power, Maker and Mother, Beloved and Lover, Father and Friend, thanks be to you, O God.
You are ever the Father who gives us bread, not stones. You are the Mother who never forgets we're her own. From the beginning of life to the closing of time, you are the one who is with us to the end.
Bless this food.
Bless this food.
And break open our hearts.
And break open our hearts.
Bless this drink.
Bless this drink.
And pour out your love.
And pour out your love.
Amen.
Amen.
So at this time, as Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room, we gather together virtually. And we remember that Christ took the bread, blessed it, and said, "This is my body, broken for you." And after dinner, he took the cup, he blessed it, broke it, and said, "This is my covenant. For as often as you drink this wine, do so in remembrance of me." Now I invite you to eat your bread, the bread of life, the food of life. And drink from the cup of blessing. As you continue to eat these items that we have eaten today in your regular day and life through the week, I invite you to imagine what extravagant love and grace looks like as you reach out across the social distancing to loved ones, to friends and acquaintances or strangers. Let us give thanks for what we have been provided with and what we are able to share. And now let us join in singing the Day of Resurrection. Thank you. And now, please join us in our benediction as it is two-part. Here is the Easter call for us today. We will seek the risen Jesus in every time and place.
Because Christ lives, we live.
While the church buildings may be closed this Easter morning,
the church is alive, just as Christ is alive.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia and amen.